So it seems we as Christians, we love alliteration. So worship works wonders. We like to rhyme as well, which is why Amanda Cook brings the Worship Works Wonders tour to South Africa in September, which is why I've got her sitting down. Hello, Amanda. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. You actually have spoken to me in the past when you were in South Africa with Bethel the previous time. You
Okay.
had a concert, and beforehand, I did an interview with you guys, and it was a very precious interview. I think I asked you all the most hard questions, and you did well with
Oh
that
my
one.
gosh.
I still remember. What do
Oh my
you remember
gosh.
of your previous tour when you came to South Africa? Can you still remember? Was there something that stood out for you that was awesome?
The people and the people, and I sound like such a tourist, but I love Table Mountain as well. But I think the generosity and the warmth of the people.
Okay, let's not assume everybody knows you. I mean, you'd think they would because we know You Make Me Brave and Pieces of Mercy. We know the songs, but the person behind the songs, the normal Amanda before the first coffee in the morning, before you have to impress anyone, the one that's only just yourself, like personality-wise, who are you if you're not on stage?
Oh my gosh. What a great question. I'm stumped. Before my first coffee, I feel like I have an existential crisis and forget everything. Like it's like a amnesia or something. No, I think I love my morning routine, and that is a very simple one that includes going on a good walk and journaling, gratitude journaling, and caffeine, and a lot of water. And usually some friend or someone that I work with will get a total brain dump on an audio text like feed about thoughts, ideas, creative things, song sparks, whatever it might be, whoever I'm working with that day or whatever. But whoever I am, I don't know, I'm pretty basic gal.
So
I
what, you
like
one of those
sitting.
people with the long voice messages, the 8 to 10
Oh
minutes?
yeah. Well, I wouldn't say long. I would say because I have ADHD too, and it really shows up in texts because I'm the person who will just like send very quick, short texts rather than a long paragraph. So it's like that. A lot of audio texts, but some of them are probably like 30 seconds long or 20 seconds long. I hope. I don't know. My friends can correct this. They'll listen to it and fact check and be like, that's not it at all. No, I think it's pretty self-aware. That's pretty true.
All right, but are you a loner, or do people energize you? Extrovert, introvert, that kind of thing?
I'd say probably a bit of both. I'd say I'm moving towards more of an ambivert thing, like because I introvert so much. There are things that I can only reset in solitude, so I crave that. I love time at home alone and in solitude and in my own thoughts. And then there is a tipping point where I'm like, I need to go see the people. I need to go be with the people. And it depends on the kind of people, of. And also, as I get older, I get better at asking for what I need when I'm with people rather than just kind of adapting to any sort of energy in the room, which is helpful for me. So I think it's probably both.
Do you relate best to people like you, like artists? Do you relate to them the best, or do you prefer people actually quite the opposite of yourself?
That's interesting. Probably a mix. I think I am drawn to, that's a great question. I think I'm just a curious person, so I love asking people questions. So I love finding out what a person is passionate about, no matter what it is. It could be literally like, I don't know, light bulbs. The object of what they're passionate about, I don't need to have a personal connection to that. What I connect to, I think, is finding out what a person lights up about and what they're passionate about and why, and then asking them questions about like it's like so it unlocks like this treasure chest. So I think I'm drawn to that, like just finding out what people are passionate about.
It's interesting that you say that, because if that is the kind of curiosity you do have to find out about what makes someone tick, the person standing before you, you must have that same way of approaching God, that you wouldn't be contained with just the first layer. You'd want to know the whys behind everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always been that way. I remember as a kid, I went to this small town church that was there was a Protestant church and a Catholic church in this little French Canadian community. And we went to the Protestant church. And I remember hearing whispers of how the Protestants really have they really have the understanding of God, and the Catholics up the street don't. And so I was like, well, naturally, I need to go to the Catholic church. I need to find out what this means. So I went to the Catholic church for mass, like midnight mass with my friend and her family. And I was like, this is incredible. Like this, the incense and the color and the liturgy and the prayer. I just loved it. And I was like, oh, I just am a big believer that God will be found wherever people are. And so I like what and that I say that with the caveat of course there's an intention, right? Whenever there's like a group of people that's seeking God, I would say, seeking the love of Jesus. That's a whole other tangent, but I think I've just always identified with the ecumenical nature of curiosity when it comes to studying God and finding and having conversations with people about the nature of God in all kinds of different ways. So, yeah. The curiosity piece of I love liturgy as much as I love being in a big, expressive, charismatic space. And I need both to feel balanced. I need like the equal and opposite, I think, of both things. Because to me, the liturgy and the ancient practices really ground everything, and it creates a container that feels much bigger than the moment I'm in. So if I'm sitting in a chapel that was built in 800 AD with the intention of it being prayer chapel, I'm like, this is older than, America. This is it puts me in touch with the side of God that it's that this faith tradition and has been here long before I showed up. It will exist long after I'm gone. And that settles something in me. And then within that, I also need to be able to express my gratitude in a certain way because of it, because it's overwhelming to me how good that is. So then I go to like a charismatic space to be able to express it, like through music. That's just my primary mode of communication. So I'm like, it's going to come out through music, and I it's the but I'm expressing it because I experience it in like a contemplative way, and I've never known how to describe it, I guess, until right now. But those things all run together for me. They're actually all parallel.
There's a little humility that you need to be able to look at life that way, to look at people that way, to recognize that I've got something to learn from each and every person. Doesn't matter if we think about life the same way.
Yeah, I love that. It's so challenging. It's always challenging, right? But it's also there's just a good natured sort of humor in it too. And I think the alchemy of artistry is that you take all these experiences that feel almost opposite and put them through this funnel, I guess, of my own limited lenses of things. And so honestly, I feel like artistry has become my way of studying things. It's my way of learning and remembering because I forget things so often. And so music feels like memory, and it is. It's like a muscle memory. And so the things that really matter, the themes that make me or develop me or that I'm learning or that are challenging me and then becoming something, I put that into music so that I can remember it later. But yeah, I do love, I don't know, I love when people who would not be found sitting at the same table together end up at the same table together. And especially if there is, like you said, humility involved, if there's like a shred of humility, it's amazing how healing that can be. Sitting with someone who comes from an entirely different worldview and culture, and approaching it like, I have something to learn from you. And if we approach it like that, then it opens up the possibility that we could all learn something from each other. And it breaks us out of our isolation, which is amazing.
And then also part of your job then is to take what you've learned and your wonder and what you discover in life, even as you learn something from the word, as you learn stuff in life, to somehow take that and convert it into some kind of language that someone can understand, really get, and use that
Yes.
to connect with God. It must be something that God has given you, the capacity to communicate, to understand, even the wonder of language to get this thing across.
Yeah, I love that. I think I'm really grateful to all the people who do that for me. Like the relief that I feel anytime I hear a song or I read a poem or I read a thought or one of the mystics or it's like, oh, the clarity of there's a word for that. There's a way of saying that. Oh, I can say it like this, or I think I feel really passionate about creating in the most primitive version of myself, the most like layman's terms, especially when it comes to faith, when it comes to approaching God, that God is not requiring me to get all my grammar right or
Yeah.
like the names right, even. It's just like God is closer than that, than even the names that we call him. Like God is Yahweh. Like Jesus came to show us that God is the reason why we exist, and we're in this family of things, and he turned the lights on, and it's only through grace that we actually get to experience that and see it. But that's a whole other side quest. But I think I love language. I love words for things because once you learn a word for something, it's like, oh, I feel the immediate relief of like if of not def not defining something, not in like a trapping sort of way, but just in a understanding sort of way. So I guess I write things down in my little ways to create pathways, I guess, and
Yeah.
jot down those experiences that I've had, especially when it comes to my faith, when I feel like I've been, yelling at the moon or that sounds so funny, but like, the most extreme version where it's like, oh, if there's any religion left in me of like God is not interested in this part of things. I feel like, I have 41 years now of testing that out and he still hasn't left. He still hasn't left me. And I find that God has a great sense of humor and is quite unoffendable. So I think creating pathways for people to experience that in the public service of artistry, that feels like a noble job to me. And I love being part of that.
And he's such a great communicator. I mean, when I read something like this, I am. This is who are you? I am. And with two words, he said so much that we can think about that thing for years and years and years, just this concept of I am. Okay, but now you're fascinated with words and communication and that sense of achievement when you get the thing just right to connect with someone's heart. And now you're fascinated with stillness. So how'd that happen?
I think it's just a quest because it feels like a miracle anytime my mind goes still. Because it's always chomping at the bit for something. It's like a bit of a racehorse. And so I have a lot of great help and mental health help for that now, especially. But so stillness feels almost like a treat. It feels like, wait, this is possible. And it's an inner stillness. It's not about, quieting the whole world around me down. That's all external. That's out of my control. It's my inner world that I'm on the quest to find practices that put myself on a trajectory and in a practice of peace. Because I don't think peace is something that just like descends and happens to people, at least not for me. It's like maybe it does. Maybe that is someone else's experience. I find that peace has more and more to do with putting myself in the practice of putting myself at the mercy of Jesus, honestly. If I'm gonna talk about like faith, it feels like I'm not left alone to my own devices in my own mind to try to figure everything out on my own. I have a helper. I have a wisdom teacher. I have a guide. I have a leader. I have a Lord that is divinely interested and connected and care. He cares about the details of my life. And so engaging in any of those conversations always leads to stillness. And what's funny and sad is that I forget. Don't we all? I forget probably every day. Honestly, it's like, oh yeah, you're still here. Oh yeah. Oh wait. Oh yeah. You're still invested. You're still here. You still have, oh, you're still taking care of me. Oh, I picked that back up. Like I keep picking things back up that he was like, I can carry that for you. And I'm like, why is this so heavy? And he's like, I can carry that for you. And isn't that just the best? Like the grace is so sufficient and it's so holistic and it's so complete that when I forget literally every day, he remembers for me and carries me through the day, even if I don't acknowledge him or remember. Like it's not, I used to think that my faith was really based on my mental capacity to remember something really important. And that was a personal hell for me because I do have this sense, I mean, even with ADHD, of I'm forgetting something important at all times. And so knowing that there's someone else who is keeping track, taking care, considering everything, keeping, like collecting me, collecting everything, all the things that I'm kind of, I feel like I'm dropping or forgetting or whatever. And he's arranging it in a kind of art piece, I guess, like a mosaic of my life. And that to me feels, I could just cry for days about that, you know, the fact that he's so close and he cares so much.
And that is not too big to do this. I mean, it's actually ridiculous when you think about it, the stuff that we feel he should be condescending about to be reminding you. But he says so in the word.
Yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't happen on its own, this beastling and knowing that he is guarding. It is just doesn't happen on its own. If he didn't remind us, we would literally, you don't need ADHD to forget.
Yeah, it's true. And also rest is a practice and it is intrinsically connected to trust. You can only really rest if you know who you're trusting, I find. And it's kind of like a kid on a playground who can dump all of their stuff with their parent and go play. Like you can really only rest and play if you are trusting someone else to be looking out for you. Because otherwise your brain is just entirely on high alert. It's looking for your survival, right? And it's doing its job. Like your brain is doing its job. But to me, an act of trust is to like, rest. It is putting myself at the mercy of God to go, okay, I trust that if I'm going to be still, I'm going to sit, I'm going to not even be still as far as sitting, but like, if I'm going to enter into the stillness and the quiet, it means I trust that you can handle all the noise and you can tuck me in and you're looking out for me, that kind of thing, you know, like God is a healthy parent. God is, the parenthood of God is something that is transforming me continually, understanding on a very basic level that like going to a playground, I'm not going to be kidnapped by something else. That sounds so primitive, but it's that feeling of there is someone who is looking out for me, caring for all the details and all the things that I miss or that I forget. And he's remembering them, collecting me, gathering me. I mean, when I think about the word remember, when the man on the cross asked Jesus to remember him, it had to do with being a fragmented person and being like remembered, like being put back together from dismembered to remembered. And to be put back together into the whole person that they were meant to be. And to me, that is perplexingly wonderful about Jesus. I'm like, oh, you're making this all make sense somehow. You bring things full circle. You consider every timeline, every lifetime. And yeah, all the people who are, all the little human beings who are walking the planet. So yeah.
Listen, your stillness mission is something we need in South Africa at this moment. I'm glad that you're coming. I'm glad that this is something that you're wondering about, because we've got rough times in our country. When you're talking about being kidnapped in the park, that's a reality right here. It's a dangerous and it's a scary time in our country. So for you to bring a message for us to focus, to be still before our God, and to trust Him is timeous. So we're glad that you're coming. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you here. And we're going to follow you.
Wow.
Socials, where do we follow you in the meantime until we get to see your face?
I think, well, Instagram, that's basically it's I post a lot of memes.
So there you have it. Amanda Cook coming to South Africa in September.